Hey creators, I want to tell you about the sponsor of today's show, and it is Riverside FM. Now, I love using Riverside for the Hey Creator podcast, but we use it at Hey Creator for many other things, including client interviews and community calls at times. It is the best tool that I have found for recording podcast episodes, either by myself, here with Tim, or with our guests. There are several reasons that we chose Riverside to be the tool of choice for the Hey Creator podcast, but let me give you a few of my favorites. The very first one is the ease of use and the quality of the audio. All I have to do is send a link to the guest and they can join. There's no additional software for them to download or anything special for them to do. It is so easy. The other big thing that I love about Riverside is how it records all of the audio and video locally and individually per guest. What that means is if someone drops a connection, it doesn't affect anyone else's feed. It also means that if someone has some background noise going on or something that could affect other people on other recording platforms, Riverside isolates all of those tracks, which makes it really easy to clean up in post-production. Another great feature that Riverside has come out with recently is their AI clip generator. This makes it so much faster and easier to get those short form vertical videos from the best moments of the Hey Creator podcast. I highly recommend using Riverside FM for your podcast. And to get a special rate, all you have to do is go to riverside.fm and use the coupon code HeyCreator, that's one word, HeyCreator, for 15% off any Riverside plan. Hey creators, Matt here. And in today's episode of Hey Creator, I'm excited to talk to you about equity as creators, which is not something that we talk about a whole lot, especially when it comes to getting equity in other businesses that you didn't start. We share a few recent examples of this happening, including Marques Brownlee's deal as the new face of Ridge, and then James Clear and Tim Ferriss becoming some of the founding partners and investors with the new Authors Equity Publishing House. Tim even tells a cool story about a friend of his that now owns a part of an English soccer club. So if you've seen something like Welcome to Wrexham, then you're really going to like this story as well. Tim and I had so much fun going over these examples in this episode. There's a lot of actionable advice that you can learn from as a creator to own equity in a business. Tim, did you see that MKBHD, Marques Brownlee, is now a board member and the chief creative officer at Ridge?
I did. And I also saw your reply underneath it that the CEO, I think in August, posted a tweet where he said he's looking to spend $1 million and give equity in Ridge to a creator to be like the face or like the creative director of Ridge.
Yeah, I think this is super interesting because we've seen creators like point their audience, point their influence at products before, and that could be through an affiliate deal. It could be like, you know, Mr. Beast has like Feastables, but this is the first time that I've seen a creator like not just go on the cap table, but also like take a seat at the board.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, wow, how cool would it be to be a part of a conversation to make decisions for a company that I use. Like, I'm just thinking of like all the brands that I'm wearing a Lululemon hoodie right now. I'm a big like Nike guy usually. And obviously the scale and the how big of a creator I'd need to be making decisions for those companies. Obviously that's massive. Just the idea that you have a say in your favorite brands because of how much content you made, because of how much you've resonated with an audience online. That's wildly intriguing to me.
What I think is interesting about this is MKBHD does these reviews on tech products and like everyday carry products. And so there's a lot of alignment. And it makes me wonder about like, so for me, I would love to be a part of Huckberry's brand, but I don't create any content that Huckberry would want to do anything with, which is another conversation, but it makes me think about, are there brands that I want to work with that I really admire that I think are super cool that would like want to bring me on? Should that be even a decision that I'm like making when it comes to like starting the content that I want to do?
So in your case, like, you want to be perfectly aligned with a brand and you want the brand to see you and notice you, or you want to be able to pitch them and say, hey, very clearly, I'm the guy for you. Right.
Right.
And then in the case of Marques Brownlee here, like this is a product that he uses. He does everyday carry videos. So it perfectly makes sense. I'm really interested in, like, can you get a Formula One driver to promote like a Starbucks drink, or just like these random partnerships where the audiences actually are overlapped, but it doesn't like seem, it's not immediately obvious. That's really interesting to me too.
What we're looking at even on this though is how do we get like equity in what we're doing as creators? And one way that this, I saw this happen firsthand a number of years ago, back in 2015, is that Pat Flynn came on the cap table at ConvertKit really early on. Like, obviously, it was very aligned. He was a believer of the product and what Nathan was doing. But that was like, that has been a huge thing for Pat to like have that equity investment. Then he would promote ConvertKit, and like he's continued to do that for a number of years. He's like talks about it when he speaks. So it's something that has been around for a little while, but it has become much more common. And I think what's interesting about what Marquez did is that he is coming on the board. Like, he is going to be a part of an existing company and like coming into the fold there. It's a little different than what like Mr. Beast did with Feastables, or what Logan Paul and KSI did with Prime. It's like, hey, we're just going to like create this like single product out of nowhere, and we're going to like obviously let other people run it. Now, they haven't said like how much like day-to-day work. Like, I read in the press release that, Brownlee's day-to-day involvement is still unclear as like what he'll be doing. I was like, he will not be doing like anything with it day-to-day. It's just, my guess is he'll get to drop in and do his thing, which is probably all they want him to do as well. It's like, hey, you should do this. But having someone of his caliber on board, it's interesting to see like Marquez coming into the fold like this.
The offer that Marquez has can vary, right? He can do one product with them. He can be like an internal like reviewer or like public face. Like, he can obviously do videos for Ridge. There's a million different ways to cut it. And I got a call one time from a guy in my network, John Barchard. And the gist of his message was like, hey, you need to, like, you're a creator, but you need to start thinking about how you can own parts of someone else's business in exchange for either making content about them or being their content team. And that opens you up to, at any scale, you can be as big as Marcus Brownlee to have a partnership with a major company in the everyday carry space, or you can be a micro creator who goes to a local business and it says, hey, I have a cute dog. I will use your dog store's toys in my videos in exchange for 10% of the sales on this product. Let's just do this one like individual product as an example. You could, any of us, if we've been creating content for maybe a few months or a year, have any sort of slight traction, can do what Marcus Brownlee has done with Ridge for the other things we're going to talk about. And that was such a shift for me. And I still, like, I'm not the person who's going to send a cold email and say, hey, can I own part of your business in exchange for content? That's a daunting thing to do. And we can talk about like the ways you and I would go about doing that. But I'm a big fan of like just seeing when the door opens. And I want to open that door for whoever's listening. It's like, hey, there's a chance you could own part of either a small business in your neighborhood, or when you get big enough, like a company that you use.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up and like took it down from like, you know, Marquez, and I think he has 18 million YouTube subscribers, and someone who has like 18 subscribers or 18 followers. Because if you're good at making content, and Justin Morris talked about this, if you're good at making content and you can demonstrate that to other businesses, to other brands, then yeah, go to them and say like, I will be your internal video team. I guarantee you there are people listening to this that are better at video and audio and writing and marketing, especially in the online world, than like local businesses or maybe smaller brands that like that don't know the things that you know as well, but they have more of an audience. You have the skill. Let's bring those two things together. And whether it's through like straight up pay or a rev share or equity down the road, those are things that you want to be thinking about. I want you to be like, Nathan Barry talks about this on Billion Dollar Creator a lot, a great, great podcast to check out. This is something that creators need to think more about.
The equity part is like the rare thing that you don't hear people mention, is you can create content for a brand in or a company in exchange for ownership of the company. Now, whether that's 15%, 10%, 5%, you could, maybe you have an awesome deal where you already have a full content team and you could do all of the marketing for 25% of someone's business. And any bit more than that, I don't have any knowledge of that happening, but it could. The possibility of having a cut of every sale that walks through the store in your neighborhood's door because you're the one in charge of making content for them. This is a door that I could not see. The call shocked me. It's like I can own parts of this sub shop in my neighborhood in exchange for partnering my podcast with their subs. You know, like maybe we do a live show in their sub shop. Just that idea alone is just mind-boggling to me.
The other creator equity deal that I saw online recently was Authors Equity, which is a group, a publishing house that's coming together, a new publishing company that is backed by James Clear, Louise Penny, and Tim Ferriss. Now, Clear, you probably know, Atomic Habits, best-selling nonfiction book over the last 5 years. This press release says that it has sold more than 15 million copies, which is just insanity. Selling a million copies is really great. Selling 15 million, I don't know all the numbers, but that's insane. And a couple of these things like stood out to me is that Penny said that it's time for a new way of doing business where the author is at the top of the pyramid. And there's a couple other things that stood out to me in the press releases for this, but it is really interesting that the publishing model that has existed, the traditional publishing is you get a big upfront advance, or I guess the upfront advance depends on your audience and how they feel about the book, but then you just kind of, you write it and it gets edited and then it gets launched, and you do get some residuals or some profit share based on the book itself, but that's normally pretty low overall. Like where you make the most of your money for most authors is in the advance. But Authors Equity has no advance, but it's a lot more, they say it's a lot more support, and then you have a bigger cut of the book when it comes out.
Yeah, and wouldn't not having the advance inspire you to write a better book? Obviously, the goal for the author is to write the best book they can, but if you weren't getting the money, I think it says in there, no advance, right?
Yeah, it says no, offering no advances, but paying authors a higher percentage of the book's profits.
So I would be much more inclined to completely empty the notebook, make the most helpful or entertaining or whatever the genre is, achieving that goal. I would go all in on being the best I possibly could and promoting it and giving people the quotable things to share, everything that goes into writing a book, which is way more than I would ever know. I would go all in on that because the money is coming on the back end. If you get the, maybe this is like a lazy mindset, but I don't think it is. I would write a much better book if I was depending on the finishing it, as opposed to, oh, I just got 200 grand to do this book. Like they love it. Whatever I do, they'll love.
It's interesting to me, like parts of it, it sounds like something that is more for established authors that they can afford to basically like survive while they're writing the book. Because even like Tim Ferriss himself, he said this on David Perel's How I Write podcast, again, another great one to check out, is that if you can't commit a focused year to writing the book, don't do it. And I think about like, I can't just focus on a book for a year, but that's where a lot of like the advances can obviously come in really handy. If someone, you know, wants to give me 150K, 200K to spend a year writing a book, I will do that. But it does make more sense for the more established author. I think this is interesting. I think that it's great, especially for people who have audiences and have more attention like Tim, like James, that they can point towards their books. Or, and this is the other thing, like we've seen the rise of like referral networks and like ConvertKit, Substack, Beehive all use this for email subscribers. SparkLoop is like, how much better will your book be if James Clear and Tim Ferriss mention it in their newsletters a couple of times? So there's some cross promotion there. They don't say anything about that in the press release, but that is another thing of like having a network of creators that are going to promote your book. That's huge.
Yeah. Would you rather take X amount of money to write a book, off a whim with a publishing company that you like working with? Or do you want, I think part of this is like you get to work with the people at Authors Equity as you write the book. So how much better of a book are you going to write if you have James Clear and Tim Ferriss helping you write the book? I'm assuming help promote the book on the back end. The money is going to come out better. The impact is going to come out better because you're writing something that aligns or has been, you've been given the green light by these established authors.
When I think about the times in my life when I've felt the most inspired, productive, and motivated, there are all times in my life when I've been around a group of people on the same path as me. These communities gave me the support, encouragement, and motivation that I needed to stay on the path and be accountable for the goals that I set, especially when I hit a rough patch, like if a launch didn't go very well, or if there was a piece of content that I worked really hard on and it just didn't really pan out the way that I wanted it to. This is why we started the Hey Creator Community, a place for you to connect with like-minded creators, follow a proven roadmap for success, and get the support you need to build your creator business. And look, the people are the most important part of any community, but it's more than just the people. It's more than just the connection that you make, even though that is critical. You also get step-by-step training and direction from our team of creative experts. Plans start at just $39 per month with no long-term commitments. Go to heycreator.com/community to learn more and sign up for your first month. Okay, something else that I saw from James last month is he released his first app. It's just called Atoms, and it's basically the condensed, like, helpful step-by-step app version of his book, Atomic Habits. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I'm on the landing page right now. It's literally just a countdown timer, the world's most comprehensive app for building good habits and breaking bad ones. And I haven't looked at the charts. I'm assuming it's like one of the best performing apps right now if the book is so big.
Yeah, it's doing well. I think what's interesting about it is thinking about, now James would own the majority of the revenue of this app. So this is something else to think about when it comes to equity. So this isn't necessarily like going on the cap table at something like Ridge. This isn't like gathering traditional publishing talent together along with buddies like Tim Ferriss and like combining. This is like more hardware. This is software. This is something where you own like a significant portion of a high margin business, which is like often what software is. And I think it's really interesting to think about if you're teaching a specific type of framework or you have like a system that you promote, like basically Atomic Habits is a habit development system, is a mindset system. So is there something in software or even with templates in a really simple version, Thomas Frank does this, where you can help people implement the advice that you're giving at a broader scale, whether that is like, say, podcast, YouTube video, or like traditionally published book.
You got me thinking about what the Hey Creator app would look like. You know, what the sprints that we're doing in the community, can those be like modules of an actual app, not just like on Circle? And we love Circle, but the Hey Creator, I'm just imagining like 10 years down the line, like what is the Hey Creator app? What is everything that they need to know? And the fact that we would have what over 50% share on that, you know, that's the idea that a creator can just make their own app.
It's pretty mind-boggling.
The development and like the coding and everything might be out of your reach, but you can get to the point where you are big enough, where James Clear obviously is big enough.
Yeah, James isn't coding up the app.
No, he's not. But his framework partnered with someone who can, and I'm assuming he has way more than 50%, that then the app, maybe it's a dollar, or if it's free, there's ads, however he's broken it down. The rev share on that is just insane.
Yeah, I can say, we'll come back to that, but I will say like on the pricing side, I did like click through it a little bit, and I think it's $16 a month or like $120 annually. And I got to tell you, people on Reddit are not happy about the price. But, you know, whether it's Reddit or Hacker News or anything like that, if you post that you charge something for, whether they're like, hey, I can just like put this into a notebook and like I can just track it that way. I'd be like, yeah, you can. And James Clear is going to make a whole lot of money on something that Reddit thinks is overpriced.
Yeah, that's always a bubble there. You can do anything and it's going to get clowned on Reddit, I'm sure. I'm waiting for the day that the Hate Creator Pod is clowned on Reddit, if it already isn't. Oh,
that's how you know you've made it. That's how you know they're like, how could anyone charge for this type of advice? I can just go watch it on YouTube. And yeah, I mean, you can, but there's something to be said about having a curated experience. There's something said about, I trust James to give me a framework that's going to help me continue good habits and make good habits and break bad ones. I trust him. And that's what it really comes down to. Like, I trust James to deliver a really like interesting, helpful, positive outcome for me. And so if he says that this app is the best way to go through this, it's something that he personally has created, then yeah, I'm in. I'll do it. At least for a few months. Like, I'll give it a try.
I think you're outlining in this episode, we've laid out the two ways that creators can get equity in businesses, whether it's you have the skills to make the content, maybe you're an awesome writer, maybe you make videos, whatever your talent is, your podcast, whatever, you can give those skills to a business in exchange for part of their business. And the other part of it is, can you create something that's so valuable to people that there can be an app for that? There can be, I mean, at the simplest level, a clothing brand, or there can be something physical or software from the ideas and the ethics of what you've made.
Yeah. Food, drink, like Feastables and Prime. And that's a really good way to think about it. It's like, you either have skills that can be a part of an existing business, or you have the resources, the audience to like start the business, start the software product, do the thing on your own.
And calling back to my guy, John, who we talked about earlier, John months ago told me his plan of offering his media capabilities, the audiovisual stuff, to an English soccer club.
Yep.
I believe they're in the fifth division. They started off in the 17th division.
Hey, I'm on the way up. Because Wrexham's in like the second is in like the third now. So they started around where like Wrexham was. They are now where Wrexham, welcome to Wrexham, by the way, where they are. They were at the beginning of the show when Ryan and Rob bought them.
Yeah. And they're featured in I believe at least one episode of Welcome to Wrexham. They partnered with a team on the rise in the English soccer/football landscape in exchange for the media capabilities that John and his team have. The team has a coach that's very like viral capable. Like I'm pretty sure he's like a very funny and easily presentable on social media guy. So if you have people creating content around him and the club, then everything's going to work from there. They're going to get more supporters. They're going to be able to invest more into their team. And the I don't know the number of the percentage that John and his team own of the business, but for him to consult and provide the ability to go viral, the ability to create content around this team in exchange for a percentage of the profits. When I was told that, like, how many of us are thinking, hey, I can own a pro sports team off of my ability to create content? Now we think like NFL, like big money. Like there's no way. I can't name, like, maybe Mr. Beast, but I can't really name another creator who has the money and pull to say, hey, I want to own a sports franchise. An American one, any of the four major sports. But he found an English soccer team in the same way that Ryan Reynolds and give me the other guy's name, Rob
McElhaney, Always Sunny Baby.
The way that they owned a soccer team, you and I could do that. If we found the right team with the right needs and the right skills, we could own a soccer team.
That is crazy.
It has been stressed to me numerous times how desperate businesses are for someone to come in and create content. It is a skill that is paramount. Every little business in your town wants to go viral. They want to have, the restaurant wants to have a line out the door. The stores want their shelves to be empty. And if they can do that through TikTok, Twitter, any social media, and especially with the boom of TikTok Shop, like that's a whole other conversation we can have. Businesses desperately want the skills of, can you go viral on short form? Can you write tweets that bang? Can you make our business upscale into the internet age? And because we know that, then we know that you as the creator are so valuable.
Yeah, I guarantee if you go on TikTok, if you go on Instagram Reels, you're going to see a couple of examples of like local, like sweaty startups, local businesses that have gone viral on those video. I think I saw an auto dealership that went viral for like some TikTok dance. And I don't know if people still dance a lot on TikTok, but like they saw an increase in sales. People came there, especially with the geo-targeting capabilities of the location targeting capabilities of those two apps, for better or for worse. We won't talk about that right now. But when you are like, local SEO is going through TikTok, it's going through Instagram Reels when you place those location pins. So like, absolutely. I'm glad you said that, because when you have these skills, if you can go to local businesses and say, hey, I will bring your business into the internet age, they will, like the right ones will respond to that.
My friend JT runs the account for Pop Daddy Popcorn. And I watch them go from something that is in local grocery stores, and I mean, it's in the regional things, to being the number one food category on TikTok Shop. They are at the top. He blew up their account from 1,000 followers to whatever they're at now. I'm assuming it's in the tens of, if not hundreds of thousands. I think it's in the 10,000s. And they offer, I'm pretty sure it's like $3 to $5 commission on every sale that they do, but their business exploded, and it's solely because JT started going ham on TikTok. They blew up the business off of JT becoming a creator.
Nearly 60,000 followers, 59.6K. Bold snacks made with a big heart.
You can scroll down and see the exact moment and where they blew up.
Last May, they were doing okay. November 2022 has a few. So basically, they were at a few hundred views for the beginning of 2023 until May. And then they, like over the summer, they started doing much better. And then in the fall, the first video that I see JT on, at least from a thumbnail, is 381,000. The next one is 1.1 million. And the one right before that, I can't tell if he's in it or not. It's a bunch of bros at a tailgate, but 3.6. Oh, there he is. Okay. So there's JT, 3.6 million.
And how lucky are they that JT is like in their family, like this is their family business? How much it would cost to, and how much you could make being that creator for somebody's business? That's the point I'm trying to make, is he got the skills somewhere, somehow, to take over his family's business's TikTok, blow the business up through short form. That's really interesting to me on the sake of like, can I go do this, or can someone go do this for someone else's business? And I mean, JT's in the family business, so he's going to have some equity.
Right.
Someday from the business, if he doesn't already.
I hope he's got a little bit right now.
Yeah, me too. Because there's a video in there where he says they went from doing 30 orders a day to 1,000 orders a day. He had to pay all of his buddies $20 an hour to come work in the warehouse with him and knock this out.
Man.
Like, that was the start of it. They've been at the top of TikTok Shop since.
Amazing. Hey, creator, I have a secret weapon that I want to tell you about, but first I want to tell you how I use it. You know those awesome Hey Creator newsletters that go out once or twice per week that sign off from me, Matt Ragland? Well, I'm not writing those, not directly anyway, because every newsletter is researched, written, edited, and uploaded to ConvertKit by our automatic evergreen team at Hey Creator. And the reason those newsletters sound like they're coming from me is because they're coming directly from the Hey Creator show, along with special presentations that I've made in the community, keynote speeches, or other podcasts that I've been a guest on. Automatic Evergreen lets me send high converting quality newsletters on time every week with a fraction of the time and attention that I used to give to a newsletter. And this is so valuable because it gives me more time to focus on the podcast and on the community. If you're curious about how Automatic Evergreen can put your newsletter on autopilot and make you money, then click the link in the show notes to book a call. There's another like side of this. We've talked about the creator side, but I also want you to think about this from a business perspective as well. Because if you're listening and you have a business, or you have a software product, or you are like thinking about how you can bring someone with the skills or with the influence into your company, there's an example that I thought of that happened last fall when Deion Sanders, who a multi-sport athlete, big star, he became the head coach at the University of Colorado. And he caused like such a huge sensation at the beginning of the year. They won a couple of games that they weren't expected to win. Deion, Coach Prime, wore these sunglasses. And I don't think like he had talked about any particular tie. He had worn a couple of different pairs. And all of a sudden he started wearing like these big, like mirror lens, gold. They were very distinctive. And it was a brand that people hadn't really heard of before. It was a brand called Blenders Eyewear. And we were like, and all of a sudden, like a week later, Prime announced that he was like, he had a partnership set up with Blenders, and these were the only sunglasses he was going to wear. Joe Pomp on Twitter talked about this on X, where he recently launched this was in September, a line of custom sunglasses with Blenders. And so Coach Prime handed out those sunglasses to everyone on the team, and College Football Game Day had just been in Boulder for the game. He gave them to Stephen A. Smith. He gave them to Shannon Sharp. He gave them to Pat McAfee. He gave them to The Rock. And so everyone wearing these Blenders eyewear, these Blenders sunglasses on national TV, because Blenders had reached out, I'm pretty sure that they cold DM'd either Deion or one of his sons and said, we noticed that, you know, Coach Prime is always wearing these sunglasses. We wear some different ones. We will make a specific Coach Prime sunglass for you. And this is what we can do for you. The day after everyone wore those shades, they did $1.2 million in one day of sunglasses sales. These are $67 sunglasses. So y'all can do the math, and don't do math live on podcast, but that is an insane, like, it definitely paid off. Whatever they did definitely paid off. And I really like this, like just the hustle mindset of like, I have sunglasses. I have a business that can reach that person.
That's incredible. Just the hustle to DM somebody, not to mention the one of the most famous people in the world at that point. Like, Deion was on an absolute hot streak at that point, being the coach of Colorado, his son being the quarterback. Incredible stuff. And the fact that they got a response is awesome.
I think in the first week, it did $4.5 million, which is just wild. If I remember correctly from the tweet where the owner was talking about this, he even said like his dad gave him the idea, that his dad's watching and be like, hey, Coach Prime is wearing different sunglasses every single week from different brands. He is going to pick a brand, and there's no reason that it shouldn't be Blenders. You need to get on him and just like shoot your shot, put it out there. And obviously it paid off for them. And I'm glad you brought it down from like the big level. Like, it's fun to talk about big things. And I bet that the owner of Blenders at the time was not feeling like, you know, maybe he wasn't feeling like, oh, Coach Prime's going to say yes. But just the willingness to ask and obviously have a good product, have something that would resonate with your ideal like influencer or partner is really important.
There's a pair of future guests that we're going to have on that I will tease out. I won't mention them yet. But they told me their favorite thing in the world to do is cold email people. All they want to do is cold email people, cold DM people, because you never know who you're going to meet or what's going to happen if you just send cold DMs all day. The partnerships that they have, the creators that they've worked with, the companies are some of the most famous brands that you can think of. And they got there by cold DMing people or making friends who could then get them in the right spot to the right person. But you never know if you don't send that initial DM or ask somebody who might know, hey, can you go get this person? Taking it all the way back down to the smaller scale for a second, if you were running a business and you DM'd someone and said, hey, I want to pay you and or give you a percentage of my business to make content for me, to write for me, to host a podcast under our name, whatever the skill is or whatever the influence they have is, if they're a smaller creator and you don't come off as like scammy, like if you show that you actually know who this creator is, that you're following them, that you appreciate them, that you think they'd be a good fit for your specific business, and it doesn't sound like a DM that there's any like catch to, you know, like it's a real thing. Like, hey, can I get a meeting with you? Let's talk about this stuff. I would be hard pressed to find a creator, unless it's like completely out of their niche or out of something that they talk about. If you think they're a good fit for your business, I have a hard time thinking that they would ever say no, or that they would at least like
you're going to take the meeting.
Yeah, you're going to take the meeting. I know as a creator for me, like I've done partnerships with some decently sized brands, and the just seeing the name come across, and I've never been offered equity in a company that I've worked with, but Lord knows I would have said yes for those companies right. that reached out,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, I have a couple in mind for you. Yeah, absolutely.
Whatever you want the creator to do, or as a creator, whatever you want to do for the company, if you don't ask, it's a no.
Yeah, I can't wait for your two buddies to come on, because when you told me that story, I was like, man, I need to be braver. I need to be more courageous in my DMs and just like putting some things out there. Like just throw it out there and see what's going to happen. Because just like Blender's reaching out to Coach Prime, I'm sure like a lot of people would have thought, like, I wear a lot of Gooder sunglasses or Knock Around or a couple of brands that I've worn in the past. I think Shady Rays are another one. I don't know if any of them ever like DM'd Prime before and said like, hey, you know, we'd like for you to wear your sunglasses. Like Blenders is the one that did it. Or maybe Blenders is the one that went the furthest, and obviously it's paid off for them in a really big way. So I would encourage you as you're listening, like probably that's one of the big takeaways for this is like, one, look for opportunities for you to create partnerships, to have equity in either businesses that exist or create your own equity driven like opportunities through merchandise, through software, through like even food and beverage. But then also like, how many connections can I make through direct outreach, through cold DM, through cold email? That, you know, we should, I can't wait for that, because I don't want to like talk about cold DM process before we talk to them. But when you have something that is worth sharing, when you have a business that is worth growing, then like you're just creating more opportunity for yourself. And the more outreach you take, the more opportunities you'll make.
The other takeaway I want everyone to have is that the skills you have as a creator are enough to own someone else's business with. If you can write, if you can record podcasts, if you can make YouTube videos, if you can do actual like production videography or help others with their writing, whatever skills you have, that is enough to own a piece of someone else's business. It doesn't even have to be in this creative world. I mentioned earlier, you can own part of a sub shop or a shoe store or an insurance company, maybe even if you're willing to make content about life insurance.
I have a good example for this. So my friend Clark Buckner here in town, he runs a podcast production company called Relationary Marketing, and they host and run podcasts for like big corporate brands here in Nashville. So they have a podcast with Bridgestone Tire. And it's mostly internal, but they do like some marketing stuff. Also, they talk about like, hey, here's how the tires come together. And like, here's how we think about product development. Here's how we think about logistics and shipping. Like, it's pretty interesting. And now I will say, like, I don't know if Clark or them have any equity, but the ability to have a business, to have like a cut of something because you're good at a particular thing, like those opportunities exist. They also have a podcast with Jack Daniels. The first spirit-led podcast in America was like produced by them. So there are ways, and it doesn't have to be like in this like traditional creator way that we often talk about, but when you have these skills, you can give them to people that already have businesses in exchange for equity, in exchange for obviously pay. But there are a lot of opportunities out there that I don't think a lot of people are thinking about.
There's your homework. Find a bunch of inanimate objects in your house and ask them if they want to host a podcast with you.
There you go. The other, maybe like no offense, Tim, but maybe the more real bit of homework is I want you to make a list of 10 businesses, 10 people that you can reach out to either to provide content to them or to request content from them and get an idea. Maybe you just start with some kind of pay and maybe it goes into like an affiliate / rev share. But eventually, like you can even start it by saying like, hey, I would like to have an equity investment in your company. And I believe that by using my skills, you will be able to increase sales, which will increase your revenue and profit and all those good things. Let's do a test run. That's something we'll talk about in the episode with your two friends, because I bet they have some ideas on how to stage that and phase it and kind of like go the way. But make that list of, let's just start with 10 businesses or 10 people that you want to partner with, and get ready for some cold DMs. Thank you for listening to the Hey Creator podcast. This show was produced by Tim Forkin and would not be possible without the support of our incredible team at Hey Creator and the Hey Creator community. Make sure you connect with us on all of the socials at Hey Creator Hey. And for more information on our company, go to heycreator.com and also sign up for the newsletter while you're there. See you next time.